What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, number one, it's a Red Friday here in Las Vegas as the Chiefs get set to take on the Raiders. We're at Circa. It's going to be a great weekend. We've got our happy hour event again going on this evening here at the casino, and hope to see you guys out here. If you want an RSVP link, that's something that we can still obviously get you hooked up with. Just text in on the text line, and we'll be sure to send you over a link to join us. Mark McMillan, Mighty Mouse, former Chiefs defensive back, is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. We'll get his perspective on this game. And, of course, I found out during the break he's never been to Stadium Swim, so he's enjoying himself already.
Yeah, he said he might stick around for a little bit. Can't blame him, at least on that end. Great spot here at Stadium Swim. If you've never been, I've got some friends coming up tomorrow for it. Can't wait. It's such a great time. Next up on What's Trending, the World Series starts tonight. Game one, Yankees-Dodgers will be on the air finally as we take a look at the World Series odds. Yankees are actually plus money to get the win tonight, so the Dodgers are the favorite series.
How about those
across
odds?
The board? Well, I'm assuming it's because the Dodgers have done this thing before and had done it here at least somewhat recently. But yeah, they're still a favorite to win the series. Tonight will be game one of that series. I know I said I wasn't going to watch any. It makes me sick that the Yankees and the Dodgers are in. It's Garrett Cole versus Jack Flaherty tonight. I'm just praying. Please, please, let the Dodgers win it, which is something I can't believe I'm saying.
If you think the Dodgers are winning it in five, it's plus 635 here at Circa. If you think the Yankees win in five, for example, plus 630. And, of course, a sweep on either end would be unlikely. That's why it's 15 or 12-1, depending on which team you pick, to actually get a sweep. Next up on What's Trending, Jaden Daniels practice for the Commanders. Obviously, that is good news. It looked like this week
was
trending more and more he's out. Maybe there's a chance he ends up playing for the Commanders this week. And if not, it would be Marcus Mariota. A lot of injuries in the NFL, as we were discussing heading into Sunday's game. Bryce Young will be starting for the Carolina Panthers, and there will be no Adam Thielen and no Deontay Johnson for him to throw the football to. Good luck, buddy, against the Broncos.
That's just a terrible spot to put him in. Chiefs played them in about a month. They can have plenty of their players back by then, but, God, they are just falling apart at the seams. Next up on What's Trending, Jason Kelce is in talks with ESPN, according to multiple reports, to host a late-night talk show.
So, like, comedy?
Well,
like
I would assume,
Jimmy
yeah,
Kimmel,
kinda, yeah.
Jimmy Fallon, but
sports-ish? But ESPN's version of that.
It's either going to be great. It's either going to be a hit and like, wow, this is really fun and creative and different, or we're like, this is horrific.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, like the sports Jeopardy. In theory, ooh, I like Jeopardy. Now it's sports. I like sports. Sometimes it just doesn't hit the same level or mark, I would say, on that end. But Jason Kelce is one of the more entertaining people available in sports media. So if there's someone who could pull it off, I do think it could be him. Man, the Kelce brothers just stay winning and cashing checks. They stop playing football making $30 million a year, and they're just going to keep making $15, $20, $30, $25 million a year anyway.
Jeez.
Like their checks never stop cashing.
I expect at this point that whenever Ryan Seacrest decides to stop doing the New Year's Eve ball drop, special, you know, it's like Dick Clark's New Year's Eve. It's like Dick Clark's New Year's Eve with host Ryan Seacrest. It'll now, in the future, be Jason Kelce or the Kelces hosting that show as well.
That wouldn't surprise me. That at least is on this end, or at least you can figure out which way it is, but still, completely wild times.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why, whenever you move your headphones, it's impacting me hearing myself too. So that's why I keep moving your cord, if you're wondering. Just a heads up on that. I'm not sure why it was actually doing that as we're broadcasting here poolside at Stadium Swim. Coming up a little bit later on, we have our Fan Club Friday, but excited to have Mark McMillan, Mighty Mouse, joining us here. We'll go ahead and get a headset on you, Mark, and get you locked and loaded for this one. We were talking to you, though, before we had you come on. You haven't been out here to Circa before, man.
I have not been out to Circa. I am, like, excited. Then you guys like, hey, you want to hang around? I'm like, absolutely, I want to hang around.
How's life for you? I mean, you're out in Vegas. We can talk Chiefs Raiders, of course, here in a bit,
yeah.
But you got a lot going on. I know you got an event tomorrow you're doing. We got the grill and McMillan spices and everything.
Man, it's going good here in Vegas, man. Obviously, doing ESPN radio here. I do Raider Nation radio. And I do the Raiders pre- and post-game show every Sunday morning, too. So I got a lot on my plate, along with the grill and McMillan spices as well. So just got word that Flankers where I'm doing the Grilla McMillan deal at, bought all the sauce in Nevada.
Oh, really?
Sold out. You can't get it on the shelves right now. So that's great.
That's good news for you.
That's great news. So I'm excited about that, man. But like I said, Vegas is – it's always something going on in Vegas, man. You can bet that there's a hockey or – you know, there's. I just went to a golf tournament, the Shriners golf tournament last week. You got the you know, WNBA just finished up. You got the Raiders. You got concerts. This is the Mecca, man. I know a lot of people like Vegas, but this is a sports town.
When did you move out here? I mean, I guess how many years has it been? Because it wasn't that long ago where, you know, sports blending with yeah. betting, you know, is taboo for these leagues and everything, and now everybody's joining together.
Oh, man. I've been here for like 3 years now, and just going back and forth. Moved here with my family. Randall Cunningham is my pastor, so he's like, man, what are you doing in Arizona? He said, you've been there for like 20-something years, so, you know, I got a family there and got my grandkids there. But when I moved here, man, just doors just start opening up. Obviously, the more sports are here, the more opportunities for me. And you bring in F1, I had an opportunity to go to F1 last year.
Oh, I got to ask you about that.
Incredible. Like, it is something that – it is the who's who event. You know, it is stars from all over that you see around F1. And, you know, last weekend I was just at the NASCAR race at the South Point 400. I was grilling for over 100 people. So I'm in the NASCAR space as well, man. I became really good friends with Kyle Larson's right-hand man. So we always texting and seeing. Hopefully Kyle can win the championship this year. But, man, I'm just trying to use my platform and see if I can just be a blessing to as many people as I can.
We'll ask you about the Raiders and the Chiefs game, obviously, here in just a second. You love to cook. He didn't cook at all. Convince him he needs to cook food by himself.
You're in Kansas City and you don't cook, man.
It's just me, Mark. That's part. It's easy for me just to
get an air fryer.
Yeah. Well, I have an air fryer. Okay. I got a Traeger as well. I just don't use it very often.
Come on.
Yeah. It's got cobwebs.
Did you just push the button and just let it go? Like you put your chips in and you just push it and let it go.
Oh, I know it. I know it. I love when I use it. Just some of it, admittedly, Mark. Some of it's a little laziness because, like, so Cody's married with kids and stuff. For me,
so you cook.
Yeah, like, and for me, there's. I'm sure it's wrong because if I truly, you know, whether it's meal prep or actually use leftovers and stuff, but for me, sometimes I'm like, by the time I go out and buy a whole brisket to smoke and stuff, I'm like, it's more money. It's just me eating. I don't have any kids. I'm not married. So, I don't know. That's part of it.
Well, you're an eligible bachelor out there, right. And, you know, man. No,
they like cook, man.
Ladies,
cook.
If you're listening, he's eligible out there.
He can't cook, but he's not.
Oh,
hey, that's
my
all right,
goodness.
But maybe a woman, she's like, you know, I'll do all the cooking. You just, you know, just get on the radio and do your thing. We'll go to a Chief game every now and then. Trust me, they're out there, man. But it's easy, man. And I love doing cooking demos, obviously being on this show with Gordon Ramsay, Next Level Chef. A couple of years ago, kind of like really opened up people's eyes to be like, wow, this dude can really.
How was that? Really, so you were on the reality TV show. Yep. Was it other celebrities as well? Is that the whole setup or was it just.
I was. There were actually professional chefs and then there were like social media chefs, social media influencers. And I was the only athlete on the show. And it took like a year to even get to that process. Of being on the show. The show was filmed in London, England.
Oh, okay.
So people, they just thought we filmed it in Vegas, but we were in London, England filming the show, and I was the first, actually, athlete to be on the Next Level Chef. So hopefully it'll open up more doors for other guys. But just being on that show, man, I had a blast. You know, I know a lot of people was like, does he, you know, you got to watch it. You got to watch the first episode. If you watch,
he chew you out?
No, he didn't chew me out.
Okay.
And I almost blew up the set the first episode. I almost blew up the set. And what really got our viewership up was it was the number one rated reality show ever because it was right after the Super Bowl. And it was on Fox.
Yeah.
So normally the Super Bowl is on CBS, but it was on Fox. So right after the Super Bowl, and I couldn't tell anybody, boom. It led into me almost blowing up the kitchen, and everybody would start texting us like, "Yo, dog, did you see the Super? Did you see the game?" I was like, "Yeah, I wanted the Eagles to win because that's my first team, but it's good to see the Chiefs win." But after that, the phone just started going crazy. It's like, "Dude, was that you almost blowing up the kitchen with Gordon Ramsay?" So it was a great experience, man.
That's a wild turn of events. Since you cover the Raiders, look, maybe we're being too critical because we're in Kansas City. But, I mean, do they have anyone who's good outside of Max Crosby and Brock Bowers? Like, man, I mean, is that the two?
That's the two. You know, Wilkinson got hurt. You know, was really coming on, really good player. Ja'Cory Bennett, he's their third. He's the other nickelback. Well, he's the nickel slash corner, number zero. A young guy, a really good player, really gets after it. But besides that, man, it is really hard to pick some players. But Brock Bowers, man, I'm telling you, you'll see Sunday. This dude is
– he's a beast.
He's the real deal. And he's exciting to watch. Everybody knows about Max Crosby. They know the beef with him and Patrick Mahomes. but it's going to be a great matchup. But just watching the way Max goes about his business every day, like I said, I played with Reggie White. I played with Derek Thomas. This guy has that same kind of DNA and playmaking ability to be one of those guys. And he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day because he's that kind of player.
He seems like he wants to be great. Like, their whole thing between the two of them is, I'm going to be great today, and I'm going to prevent you from being great today.
Yes.
Which I like. I don't care. Like, if they're going to be a little chippy with each other, that just comes from both guys wanting to win so bad they don't care. Like, that one bothers me less than practice squad players trying to make puppet jokes, right?
They remember that. They were poking the bear. So, you know, when you have great players going against each other, it's a competition. You know, when we're playing against the Broncos, obviously, you know, Ed McCaffrey, Rod Smith, John Elway, you know, we wanted to get after those guys, you know, because you know he's the best. So we want to prove that, you know, we want to prove our armor as well. So being competitive like that, I know Max is going to bring out the best in Pat because Pat knows he's going to be on his tail. And, you know, he's going to bring out the best in Max because Max is going to try to get him. So it's going to be a great matchup, but everybody thinks Tom Brady's going to come out of the woodwork to be the quarterback. And I was like, he's not going to save the team. I was like, he got so many restrictions. How is he even being in the booth?
Crazy is, so for those listening, obviously Tom Brady's now minority owner with the Raiders. Yeah. We were saying, like, should he be allowed to broadcast whatever? His job is way tougher as a broadcaster now because he's not allowed to do the meetings and actually go in facilities and things like that.
Can't be critical of the team on TV. So it's like, bruh. I know they gave him 200 something million.
Yeah.
But he got 200 something million to get in. So he, no money was really out of his pocket.
Genius, right?
Yeah.
Genius.
Smart. I also it's like last night, right? If he was calling the game, he's supposed to call the game and be like, it looks pretty clean to me. What do you mean?
His face mask
ripped off? He's just supposed to say nothing?
Yeah.
Like, what constitutes critical of the ref versus being like, That is not the correct call.
And hopefully they will understand, like, he did call it right, but there's no way, like you said, he could look at that call and be like, oh, my gosh, that was, you know, I didn't see it.
It's not being critical of a ref if you're just like, yeah, they missed the face mask call.
Yeah.
It's there, and they missed it.
That was so bad, though. That was really a blatant face mask call, which is so bad. Right now, the officiating is – I know this guy's got a tough job. But come on, you're in the if you got to go to the replay, they got one of the biggest TV screens in the NFL, so you can't see that. And the guy was looking right at him. But it's tough being a referee, but at the same time, man, you got to get calls like that right because Minnesota could have went down and possibly scored. But the Rams looked good last night, though. When you get the Nakua and you get Cooper Kupp back.
Totally different offense.
Yeah, so it was – and they still beat the Raiders without those two guys. So that just goes to show you what kind of team they're working with out here.
You ever say something you shouldn't do, a ref?
Me? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I always tell that story about when I was with the Eagles and we played the 49ers, and it was a really tough game. You know, John Taylor, Jerry Rice, me and Eric Allen on the corner, we're battling it out. And the referee was just like, he was just jiving us. And I ripped him something terrible. And the odd thing about it, the girl I was dating back then in California, she worked with his wife at a law firm.
No way.
So she calls me that Monday. She's like, what did you say to that ref? Like, I was like, what are you talking about? Because who called and say, what do you say to the ref? She's like, I work with his wife.
You're like, oh.
Because I said some really bad stuff to this guy. Like, I almost wished death on him that day.
We got Mark McMillan hanging out with us here in Vegas on 96.5 The Fan. Your tweet you sent out this morning, a lot of, I think, Chiefs fans were enjoying, brought us some childhood memories. Yeah. It was, for those who don't know, if Mark McMillan on Twitter, you put out, it was an old Chiefs, Can't See Star, Chiefs Extra cover, right? And it was definitely very 90s. I mean, the artwork and everything. So Chiefs, Raiders. I know right now we've got the Kermit the Frog stuff out there. All right, that's one thing, but you can speak to this. Chiefs, Raiders, this rivalry, you played in it.
Yeah.
What kind of memories come back?
Great memories because we always beat them. You know, some really good memories, especially in Oakland. You know, that was, man, it was some really good battles in Oakland because you knew the black hole was different. and the stadium, and we always played them at night, so people were drinking all day. We got so much stuff thrown at our buses that was probably coming out of these guys' butthole, and it was bad stuff. So it was great, man. I recall the Monday night game. We played them, and Andre Rossi caught the winning touchdown in the end zone from Gerbach. That game, the atmosphere was so good. Me and Dale and James Hasty, we had a really good game, and this fan was just riding me like for the whole fourth quarter. And our benches were right there by the stadium in Oakland, and he was just riding me. And I was like, normally I kind of phase it out, but he started talking about my mom.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh, I can't let this ride. I can't let this ride. So I just go over and just start yelling at him. And the police officers, because they had a ton of police in Oakland, they started pulling me back. And this guy just kept going on.
Oh, they're pulling you back.
They're pulling me back. Oh, I went to the stands. I was like in his face. I was in his face going at it, and they pulling me back. And then I think he tried to kick. He tried to kick me, and that's when they yoked him over the fence. And then they hog-tied him. And when they're dragging him out, I was right here in his ear. You mother bloop, bloop, bloop. I was giving him the business. But it was a great rivalry. God rest his soul, Marty Schottenheimer did not like the Raiders.
Yeah, the story was like top down. Every member of the organization is like, we hate him. You need to know we hate him. Everyone should know we hate him.
Yes.
Like, is that would Marty Schottenheimer do like a separate speech that week just about like
hating his team? Marty cried. He cried every Monday, and you knew it was Raider week. In the team meeting, he was getting so fired up. And of course, you know, Marcus Allen had that little chip about it as well, and he was a little quiet every Raider week. You know, obviously he wanted to stick it to him, but like I said, it was like me born into the Auburn-Alabama rivalry, because I grew up a Raider fan in L.A., and now all of a sudden I go to Kansas City, and I'm like, you mother, I can't stand you. But it was a great rivalry, man, and it was physical. Guys just really got after it. I think these guys kind of, I wouldn't say like Kansas City, kind of don't know the history of it because they know the magnitude of it. But the Raider players, I don't think those guys really know the magnitude of this rivalry and what it really means to football.
Rivalries a lot of times I feel like are based in like when the teams are good.
Yeah.
You know, like in those times, both those teams were competitive.
Yeah.
Like right now, the Raiders have been a few years removed from the level of competitiveness.
They did beat them last year in Arrowhead.
They did,
which
and
is crazy.
I think that adds some juice.
Talked about all week. Yeah. We talked about all week.
They did go. They did. Jack Jones has been chirping a little bit, so that's going to be interesting to see how he plays. Tackling is an issue for the Chiefs, so we'll see how that works. I know Kareem Hunt is running really well.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are really not talking about that. They're talking about B-Hop coming over, but man, Kareem Hunt is filled in really well. We know he's not Pacheco. But inside that red zone, man, he is a load to bring down.
Is Antonio Pierce still really popular in the building still?
You know what?
The interim stuff, it always has like a little bit, right? It goes for a bit.
No, it
and
wore
then
off.
The hangover.
It wore off, man. It wore off real quick. I wasn't a big fan of the lowriders and the commercials and all the rah-rah. This is the NFL. I don't see any coach, maybe the Eagles coach, because he was chirping back at the fans. You know, like it's just like, come on. Like, this is, you're not going to see Big Red chirping at the fans or sitting there with in a lowrider, 6'4", throwing up gang signs. You know, it's just a different breed. But, you know, these players seem like they kind of cool with that. I was like, no, at the end of the day, dude, this is your job. This is football. Like, you got to freaking win some games or you're not going to be in the league for long. So, Raider fans, they're fed up. You know, obviously, they'll probably give them another year. But me, I just don't like all the hoopla around the team when you're not winning.
Yeah, you can handle when you're winning.
Yeah, when you're winning, you know, you can do a little talk, a little bit, chirp a little bit. But when you're getting drug week in and week out, and your quarterback is Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, who's not going to play, and then you pick up Desmond Ridder from the Cardinals, like, it's like, who are these guys? And, you know, I know a lot of people, when I get on radio, I tell it like it is. And people, they respect that because I'm not going to sit there like, oh, you know, there's an opportunity. No. They need a quarterback. They need to step up. And I always praise the defense because they do come to play. But as far as the offensive side of the ball, man, it just can't get rid of Josh Jacobs. And then you bring in Zaire from Georgia, who's still hurt. So it's just so much disarray. And you look at the Chiefs and what they do. Okay, we see Derrick Henry running real good. They're in the AFC. Okay, we're going to get hot. We're going to go get some players, you know, so they get it. You know, the teams that's trying to win, they get it.
This defense for Kansas City has been kind of carrying them, too, as well, as we're talking to Mark McMillan here on 96.5 The Fan. You played the position, so I want to ask you about Trent McDuffie. We think he's top two corner, if not maybe the best corner in football right now.
Oh, big fan of McDuffie since his days at Washington. He played with a good friend of mine, Elijah Molden. who played at Washington as well. So I had a chance to see him last year in the Super Bowl when he was here. Obviously, he didn't know who I was, but I just said, hey, man, you don't know who I am. My name is Mark McMillan, but I am a big fan of yours because he plays the game kind of like I played the game. You know, he's not the biggest corner, but he's smart. He's always around the ball. He's instinctive. And he's just a dog, man. He's just a dog in that secondary, and I love seeing him play.
He lives in the hip pocket. I think that's what it is. He's never more than 6 inches away from the guy, even if he makes the catch.
Yeah, and like I said,
that's a hard thing to do.
He studies his film. He studies his keys. He's a pro's pro. He takes it personal. You can see he takes a guy catches the ball on him, he is pissed. It could be a hitch route. He is pissed. So, you know, a lot of people don't talk about as much as the Mahomes not having a statistical year. But how about Spags in this defense and what they're able to do, plug and play, and just get after it? Chris Jones is just a man among boys. He's not like the superstar that you talk about at Max Crosby. But if you're on the opposing teams, you know you start with Chris Jones. We got to stop him first.
I mean, he's the best defensive – he's one of the best defensive players in the league. Like, yes. Max Crosby deserves to be in there. But, like, it's always hard because people don't – like, you can speak to this. An interior pass rush is worth more than a guy coming from the outside.
Yeah.
When you wreck it from the inside, which Chris Jones does a majority of the time, the rest of the offense doesn't function the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
No offense is designed to handle pressure from the middle.
Yeah, and that's a key. If you have a guy that can get in the middle, push that guard back or push that center back into the quarterback's face, make them a little bit uncomfortable. You know, they have a big advantage. Obviously, on the outside, you can kind of put a tight end over there. You can put a running back to kind of chip them a little bit. But in the interior, man, it is just man on man. And Chris Jones is a man. He is a grown man in there. And like I said, I still rock with the Chiefs, man. I'm a big fan of them. Like I said, the city's always welcome me back. I, you know, shout out to my man, Dana Hughes. He's probably out there listening.
Yeah, Dana, he joins us every week. Obviously, he's right on the station for the Chiefs Radio Network. Yeah. Thinking of that, you got something going on tomorrow here in Vegas. A lot of Chiefs fans. We were saying we think there's going to be like 60-70% Chiefs fans in that building. I don't know if you agree with that, but it's Arrowhead
it
West,
might be
Mark.
Closer to 70.
Okay.
It might be closer to 70. Even the Cleveland Browns, when they came out
Man,
they
Cleveland?
Cleveland traveled well. And then the Steelers, you thought you were in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
There was a lot of terrible towels out there. So it's Vegas. The weather's nice. That flight is, what, like an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours? Chiefs Kingdom is going to show up, man. That's one good thing about playing in Kansas City. The fans always traveled. They're really behind their team. Obviously, playing with the Eagles travel as well. There's a lot of good teams. But Kansas City is almost – it reminded me of a college atmosphere. You know, there's the we were the only show in town. The Royals were okay. But the atmosphere in Arrowhead Stadium, I'll tell anybody, if you've never been to Arrowhead Stadium on a night game or a Monday night game, you are missing out. So hopefully I can get back to a game this year. And I love tailgating. Like, they do it right in KC, man.
No question.
Whole pigs be out there, man.
Tomorrow afternoon, you've got something going on, right?
Yeah, I'll be at Flankers, me and Dana Hughes. They're coming from the plane to Flankers inside Mandalay Bay. So we'll be there from 11 to 6. We got a Grillin' McMillan menu that the Chef Michael has prepared for everybody. So there's a burnt-in salad.
Oh, yeah.
There's some barbecue smoke ribs. There's some boom fries because I have a season called Boom 3.0. And then he got an apple cranberry cobbler for dessert with vanilla bean ice cream. So you got burn-ins. You got ribs. Oh, you got smoked macaroni and cheese.
There we go.
As well. So I was like, okay, it's Kansas City. We got to get some Kansas City vibe in here. So you can't go wrong with ribs, burn-ins, mac and cheese.
Plenty to do, plenty to eat throughout the weekend here in Las Vegas. Mark, great to have you on the show, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys having me on, man. Let's enjoy this weather here, man. I wish they could see this, man. This is awesome.
I know. We've been trying to share it on social media. It's definitely a great place to be. Coming up next here on Cody Engel, we'll talk a little bit more about a quarterback that Cody disagrees with in terms of the top tier of QBs in the league. Plus, we'll get to the random question of the day on Cody Engel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we are live in Las Vegas. Friday night in Vegas, too, coming up. That's always a good thing. Nothing like flying in on a Friday, and hope to see a lot of Chiefs fans tonight at our happy hour event as we are inside of Circa, specifically at Stadium Swim, their big pool club, starting to warm up outside, too. Had to switch to the sunglasses as well. It's going to be, I think, a packed house a little bit later on tonight. As RSVPs have been coming in, you guys can still RSVP for our happy hour this evening. Just text into the show. 913-586-7965 if you're going to be out in Vegas. Maybe you're listening on the Odyssey app at an airport back in Kansas City. You're going to hop on a flight. We know some of you are doing that very thing today if you're not already out here. So just let us know. We'll make sure we get you that link so you can get a free drink tonight, get entered to win some tickets to the game. But appreciate Mark McMillan for coming on with that. That was great. I haven't talked to Mark in a while. I know he's gone on our morning show before. We've had him on, I think, in our first or second year that we are doing the show. But yeah, haven't had him on in person. Great energy. Obviously, great insight on the game. A fun personality and a great cook, too, man. Great chef.
Man, could you imagine saying something negative to someone only to find out they work with your wife? Oh,
that was
God,
something.
That would kill me.
That was something.
I'd be like, hey, what did you say? My coworker, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. I've said some stupid things on the radio. I don't need that, like, coming back and be like, hey, what did Cody say about, like, nope, just leave my wife out of this. Shouldn't you know everything I say on the radio all the time? I say dumb things sometimes, and I don't need this circling back through every time I regret it. So, yeah, great stories. And just, like, a good indicator of, like, this game actually feels like it has more juice than the 49ers yes. game last week, which is crazy because the 49ers one was a Super Bowl rematch from only, like, 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
a team that they've beaten in the Super Bowl two times. I mean, but they like each other or something, or mutually respect each other. I like that they're like, I don't know, I'm not afraid of Mahomes and the puppet. And Mahomes is like, it'll get handled when it gets handled. And then all the other stories you hear about the previous 90s and 2000s when Schottenheimer just tell you to hate the Raiders. You said you were essentially, you were raised in a way that was like, you hate that team. They're absolutely. Trash people.
That's exactly it. Absolutely. If you grew up in Kansas City, and like I was very young in the 90s, but that's where I grew up. And yeah, that was the team because they were actually competitive at that time. The Raiders were. That was the team that I hated. And yeah, I was like, they're fans. I still to this day, Cody, I view Raiders fans as like trashy football fans. Screw them. Trash. That's how I view the Raiders.
Well, you won't have to worry about that in the building.
If I see on Fremont, I see people wearing Raiders gear. I have an opinion about you. You're absolutely right.
Cody's got one house sitting for him. That's crazy.
That's true. I can't believe during Raider Week. Think about
during
that.
Raider Week.
During Raider Week, you have a Raiders
that.
Fan sleeping in your own bed. Literally, in your own bed.
But I'm in their build. Like, I'm in their business, right? I'm in their city now.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I mean, you know.
Also, their city's still Oakland, let's be real. I know there's Raiders fans here, obviously, but.
Not nearly. It's going to take 20, 30 years. You know, it works.
You heard from Mark describing the black hole and the stories of batteries being thrown at the helmet of players.
Him yelling at us a fan as he's being arrested.
That's great. But that's incredible. I love
that's
that story.
Raiders week.
I love that story.
I miss that. I miss that kind of juice.
Yeah.
No, you were asking me because, like, we're in an AFC West game. Obviously, the Raiders stink. The Broncos are kind of salty. And then the Chargers have been just hovering around. Nothing. They're like 500.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's really happening. And I realize why this division is such a joke right now. And it's because it took me a few years because I was big on these early stats. What the hell's going on with Justin Herbert? He has no business being anywhere near the conversation of top five quarterback in the league right now. None. Zero. Like, there are five quarterbacks you should put ahead of him immediately. And the people who are doing that are still just basing it off of the dumb things like, oh, he's got arm talent. Well, cool.
Oh, and he does, yeah.
I guess, because that will get you so far in your world. He had two really good years to start his NFL career, in which it looked like he was going to be a top five quarterback the entire time in the league. Since then, 25 touchdowns, 10 picks 2 years ago, 20 touchdowns, 7 picks a year ago, average yards per attempt down this year, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, averaging less than Patrick Mahomes in yards per game, 194. Look, you can play Graham Roman, but you – At some point, you can't keep blaming the people around Justin Herbert, and it said he's got to wear some of it. Because what I heard was Brandon Staley and the offensive coordinator were holding him back.
Yep.
He got a brand-new head coach and a brand-new offensive coordinator. Wait, now they're holding him back, too? Everyone can't be holding the man back. At some point, he's got to bear some responsibility.
Well, it depends on
he's
what
like
you think
he is.
He's
like fringe top 10 right now. Fringe.
But that's the thing. It depends on what you're going to be. I mean, if you're saying that he has to elevate everybody around him and perform and he's not, well, yeah, that's what it means if you're a top 5, top 8 quarterback in the league. I still think he's a top 12 quarterback in this league. And I will say, right now, looking at the weapons in year one with Harbaugh, I mean, Cody, he's throwing to Ladd McConkey's a rookie. Like, that's his Josh Palmer and Ladd McConkey.
I mean, but
they
like,
don't have
you know,
it.
Mahomes,
they don't,
right?
But that's what I'm saying, Cody. He's in the. Nobody's saying Herbert is Mahomes. Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time. We talk about Josh Allen. He's a top 3 quarterback. Lamar, he's a top 5 quarterback. Those guys, yeah, because they're those individuals, they elevate. I don't think Justin Herbert's a top 5 quarterback. So
I guess I thought he was for a while.
I think
but
a
I'm
lot
definitely
of people
off
did.
Of that.
Yeah, I don't think it's been a couple years since anybody was trying to make that case. But I still view him as a top 12 quarterback in football. Absolutely.
I just like the more and more I look at him, like why is this division so out of hand already? 3 games up in the loss column already. Already? The Broncos even had to face the Chiefs yet. You know?
Are you guys still taking Jordan Love behind? Are you still taking Herbert above Jordan Love?
Ooh, that is a much more interesting debate.
It's close, but again, I don't think we're comparing apples to apples at all in terms of it's the second full year as a starter for Jordan Love, and he's got Josh Jacobs. He's also got a way better offensive-minded play caller and Matt LaFleur. His receivers may not be the household names, but I think we would all admit if we're comparing Josh Palmer to anybody, Wicks, Dobbs, or Christian Watson, I would take the Packers receivers.
I think Jordan Love's elevated
receivers.
Them, though, to that point, because Aaron Rodgers quit on them, essentially, on those same guys.
Well, yeah.
This is a really tough argument, because there is no particular way to judge it, because, like, I've seen people be like, you know, we used to have this argument with Alex Smith, they'd be like, well, Travis Kelce got better when Alex Smith got here. He's like, well, no, that's just Travis Kelce making Alex better. I'm like, it's both, right? Like, it's got to be both, a little bit. But Ladd McConkey was a first-round pick. Quentin Johnson was our second-round pick, right? Quentin Johnson was a first-round pick. It's not like they're talent-less receivers. They're just young receivers. And, yeah, he was putting up bigger numbers in the early section. But like anything else in the league, they figured out what you're good at and what you're not good at, and you never made the adjustment. You've just stayed a middle-of-the-road thing. The thing I'll say about Jordan Love is he's getting better. Like, the quarterbacks I tend to, like, believe more in is the ones who look to be getting better versus look to be staying the same or not showing improvement. And I know someone's going to be like, well, Mahomes' stats. I'm like, come on, man. 2-time Super Bowl champ, 3-time Super Bowl champion, back-to-back. Like, we don't have to get into Mahomes. We can just leave him out of this conversation because obviously things are a little bit different in that scenario. But, yeah, I view this division right now, and you had said before the season that you thought they were going to win every game in this division. That looks more and more likely
six
every
to
damn
one
day.
Preseason, it was 6-1 for them to sweep the AFC West. I have not seen anything to suggest that.
Did you bet it?
I did. I should not believe that that's not possible based on what we've seen, right? Like, there's nothing that has occurred heading into now, what, week 9 of the season that should make you think if you bet on that preseason that that's worse off. Nothing. They've already beat the Chargers on the road and have, I mean, here we are, we're in Vegas. The Raiders.
Broncos on the road, the second hardest one, I guess?
Probably.
Like, I mean, they're at least, I don't know, somewhat salty across the board. Who would you have above him, just out of curiosity? Herbert.
Yeah, so I was about to say, and the text line brought up as well, it's a good point, just we also have to, with Harbaugh too, even if he gets more weapons, we've all seen how Harbaugh coaches quarterbacks, and whether it's at Michigan or otherwise.
Conservative.
Yeah, the numbers are not going to be as impressive for him. As far as who would I put ahead of him? So, I mean, we know that, I think there's the obvious names. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Dax in front of him, Jared Goff's in front of him. There's 7 just real quick off
Jared
the top
Goff
of my
for sure. Like, yeah. That's not somebody I would have thought. Like 2 years ago, you wouldn't have convinced me on that either.
There's 7 just real quick off the top of my head.
Jordan Love, is Matt Stafford
Matthew
better?
Matthew Stafford, when he's healthy, which he is right now. We saw last night how impressive that was. Who am I? Oh, CJ Stroud, sorry.
Sam Darnold's playing better than him right now.
That's
where I kind of
6-game sample
playing
size.
Better, sure, but there are quarterbacks playing better than Mahomes. I wouldn't rank above it.
Correct.
I think you probably like. There's maybe one. Or two there.
Brock Purdy's right around there. I would still have Herbert over Purdy.
Kyler
I really
Murray?
Would.
No,
Kyler.
I mean, we're having a conversation at Kyler, aren't we?
We are.
Kirk Cousins, Kyler, Jordan Love. These are the quarterbacks we're having a conversation around, in my opinion.
These are all guys that are in that 9 to 12 range.
I would say Jordan Love is better than Kyler Murray. I don't even think that's a debate, in my opinion.
I would put Jordan Love above Justin Herbert right now. But at least I'm saying you can have a conversation around those names. Love, Herbert, Murray. Like, it's all like we're debating. There's straw man arguments on either side.
Yeah, sure.
And we're kind of debating upside versus this. And look, Greg Roman did kind of neuter Lamar Jackson at times, and he's looked better. He throws the ball more. They throw the ball more without Greg Roman there. But again, everybody can't be the problem, and you're not part of the solution. You can take some handle on that and should take some handle on that, especially as you become more and more established in the league when you're Justin Herbert. That's all. It's just like you can look around a little bit. Speaking of the NFL, this weekend we think the Chiefs-Raiders game ended up being one of the more interesting games across the board. But you asked me, because we're going to be here, like you're going to be in Vegas on weekend, what game are you watching on Sunday? Like, what's the one goal that you're like, locked in, I'm in, noon slate in Kansas City, right? The one you want to see. And it could be a later one, too. I'm open to that. But I know you'll be at the Chiefs-Raiders game on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, like, I know you're not – and look, Panthers-Broncos play Sunday at 3 o'clock. Ain't nobody watching that game across the board. I think the most interesting one, honest to God, and this is not to, like, steal it from Drew, I think the most interesting game of the weekend is, outside of the Chiefs game, of course, for me, is Eagles-Bengals. That is two teams trying to prove to the world they're not fraudulent. Two teams trying to prove that they're actual serious contenders in their conference and not fraudulent teams who can't beat a single good team. Neither of them have a particularly good win. Neither of them have looked good even in their wins. They both have quarterbacks who should be better from a, like, win perspective than they have been. Coaching questions from Sirianni and Taylor. It's like a battle of who do I take more serious. So in a lot of ways, like, I'm fascinated by that game because I'm like, who do I take more serious out of these two teams? Somehow winning against the other kind of tells me that.
So I get that game for sure. For me, I know normally people get all frustrated about the Cowboys, but I'm interested in – it's a big game. Cowboys at the Niners. Both teams have been disappointing. Their records are – they're both sitting at 3 wins, but they're both still very much alive in their divisional races. I want to see – do the 49ers without – Brandon Ayuk now for the season. What do they look like? And the Cowboys are obvious. I mean, things are just trending. All the noise around that organization. They've just come off a bye week. We know Jerry Jones's comments. I actually am fascinated about that game, Niners and Cowboys. That's on Sunday Night Football, and it actually, to me, is a deserved slot because both teams, the loser of this game, all of a sudden we have to start having a conversation about one of them not making the playoffs. And I know you say, oh, well, of course the Cowboys aren't going to make the playoffs. Let me remind you, they have been basically a 12-win team for 3 straight seasons. So the loser of that game is in jeopardy of not making the playoffs. The Niners, with a win, suddenly everything is great again. They might be in first place if the Seahawks lose and everything. Everybody calms down about the Niners.
Cares, yeah.
The Cowboys lose again. It's magnified. They're 3-6, I think, with a loss. Is that right? Will they be 3-6?
Yeah,
3-6, I believe. 3-5, maybe. So that's the game for me. What about you, Drew?
So I
3-4.
I think
like
that
3-6 games so far.
It's a little bit of a bummer. Jane Daniels, I think he practiced today. He might be able to go. They really don't know. But the Bears play the Commanders. That one on paper would have been really interesting because Commanders 5-2, Bears 5-2, NFC North being as good as that division is. I think the most interesting one, though, if I had to pick one, is actually Colts and Texans. And maybe that's because CJ Stroud has looked a little shaky at times. This is a chance for him to, you know, show that, okay, yes, this is the CJ Stroud that we're used to seeing against a defense that stinks. The Colts are 4-3. If they beat the Texans, they both have the same record, and the Colts will have the tiebreaker early on in the season with Anthony Richardson playing. So I think that one's a little bit intriguing in regards to the AFC wild card / AFC South playoff push.
Yeah, I just want to see Stroud play better. Like,
yes.
I know you're like, why do you want to see him
sophomore
play better?
Sophomore slumps happen.
Just talking about quarterback play. It's been, can he play better? He had 80-something yards last week.
Joe Mixon had 187 on the ground in that same game.
I mean, they lost Nico Collins, and that offense did not look the same. I mean, they did lose. Nico Collins was playing like the second, third best receiver in the NFL, Gold. I mean, he's playing like Justin Jefferson the first 3 weeks.
I want that updated line. We've had our in-house contest we do at the station, and I wrote down before we flew out to Vegas, Texans minus 5.5. I think it's 4.5 now. So, Drew, you got to go ahead and update that board. I need that point. I want that minus 4.5, not the minus 5.5. The way we do our contest in-house is whatever the line is on Friday afternoon. So,
hey, it's actually whenever the boss leaves.
And the boss
and
is
he's off today.
He's
so,
off today.
Sorry, line set.
No, but it's still Rob.
5.5, you know?
Nice try. Rob's actually in charge of it when Speck's gone.
The original rule was when when the boss leaves.
Drew knows. He knows the rules.
Yes.
Does Rob actually check it?
I think Rob does. I actually went through and changed some of them this morning because there were some that were different.
Look at that.
So, Speck.
Wait, did you change mine? Maybe I want my original line, you know?
Cody wanted alt line. KC minus 20 is what I heard.
You wanted 3.5? Is that what it was?
If I get two wins, I'll do it. KC minus 20, but I get two wins if it's right.
Only
one loss if they're wrong. But
was the Bengals Eagles game 3.5 originally, or was it 3? Because it's still stuck at 3 right now.
I don't know. I think it was 3.
Because Cody and I were
2.5 at. Maybe not a draft. I don't know which book, but one of the books.
We go off of DraftKings, so I think it's still.
Okay.
I mean, it might still be.
Uses DraftKings. That's his bookmaking book.
Down to 2.5.
It is currently 5. The Texans Colts on DraftKings.
Okay, so give me the half point.
Even 5.
Give me that half point. At least the push is in play.
Drew, do you honestly think that the Bengals don't look fraudulent?
Here we go. Oh boy, I'm gonna go ahead and turn my mic off. Let you.
I'm just asking because I think they just don't look good.
I don't think they're. I think the jury's kind of still out because the defense has played a lot better. It has been against that good of offenses though. So the jury's still out on them as a unit. But I know we were grading Patrick Mahomes' season. If you graded the way that Joe Burrow's looked, I would say it's an A or an A plus the way the offense has been, and then it's an F.
Can't be an A plus with the record. It's
been an F the way that the defense has been. So they max out to like a D plus essentially the way that they've started the season because of the losing record. I would just say the jury's still out for the next few weeks. They have. The Eagles this week, then I think the Raiders, and then the Ravens. So that Ravens game is going to be a massive one here in a few weeks. They just got to take care of business the rest of the way, I guess.
The Eagles and the Bengals feel exactly the same spot as me. They like their quarterback, obviously, so they're like, they're not going anywhere on quarterback. They like Jalen Hurts. They like Joe Burrow. They're fine. They both have serious questions about whether or not they like their coach and if they want to keep going with that coach. Both defenses have underperformed. Sometimes they score a bunch of points. Lately, they have not, but neither team has been scoring points lately. Cincinnati's fallen to the 10th best offense, not number one or two like they were for a while. It's like they feel like the same team. You know, you said the Chiefs and the Steelers feel like they win in the same way?
Yep.
I feel like Cincinnati and the Eagles are the same team. Both did a couple of cool, really cool things a couple of years ago, haven't quite been the same since, and now they're just stuck in like no man's land of like, how good are we? Do we even know? Do we even know how good we are? Kind of feels like we're just stuck.
The Eagles are still 4-2, which is crazy to think about. They're, you know,
but they have not looked. That is not a good looking 4-2.
I agree. I'm just. It's weird to think that their record's 4-2, and it's they're being talked about in that same breath. It is interesting for sure, though.
Agreed. That's why I'll take the 3 points. Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Got our 3D printed figurines back there in studio today. yes. Yeah, we try to get the cameras working here, and we'll try to do it next time we're on the road, too. But you can always subscribe, like, review over on YouTube at TheFan965. Question I have is very specific for Alex. It's something we talked about earlier in the show. I had told you, a girl had hit you up in your Instagram DMs. Who was part of a tour guide back to there? Have you messaged her back, or will you?
So the backstory: I was here in March. I went to the.
This is your fourth trip to Las Vegas.
I went to the Grand Canyon, and the tour guide on the trip.
Lovely lady,
started
said
talking.
Very nice.
She followed me on Instagram. She saw that I was coming back to Vegas. She messaged me and said, "Are you guys going to be at Circa? Looks like." And I said, "Yep." And she said, "Oh, I might have to come down for the shows." I said, we're doing a happy hour Friday night. She goes, oh, I might have to make it. That's where we've left it. That's
you
it.
You should have said
I haven't
you,
talked to her
you should
since,
make it.
So it's like, I'm not going to.
Mystery. Has she posted anything on Instagram? Do you follow her back?
I think so.
Cody, I don't know if this sounds. I'm not trying to call it Gold or anything. It sounds like Gold is like, it's whatever. It sounds like she's very interested in Gold, and
okay,
Gold's like still on the fence about this whole
but let's,
deal.
But let's be honest. Let's be honest about the situation here. She knows Alex lives out of town. They met one time. She knows Alex is in town, and she is trying to make plans. I think she is essentially asking Alex, would you like to have sex? What? Is that not what's happening here?
Is that your random question?
Yes.
That's the question.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine if she was? By the way, if you're listening right now,
no,
I apologize. Even though I don't
on.
Really know you very well, I apologize. I apologize.
What, am I misreading the situation here? Drew, what do you think? You think she wants to have a long distance relationship with a person she met
I don't, once? I'm gonna be honest. I don't.
For all I know, she has a boyfriend. I don't even know.
I think she just wants to go and
right?
She wants to hang out and get drinks with Alex. I don't know. I'm not going as far as the sex thing yet. They've met one time.
It's not off the table. Okay, that's all. I'm saying.
I agree. It's not off the table. sure, it's not off the table because of and the potential for it.
Someone says I should respond
based on tonight.
Back. What?
Someone says, show her a tour of your hotel room.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. How long do you...
Someone says, has Cody been drinking with those comments?
No.
Actually, no. I can attest he's been drinking water only so far today.
Vegas just makes me loose, I guess. I'm going to go get a drink for the fan club here in a minute.
Oh, yeah. During the break, we got to. Hold on.
Is this one of those you met her and it was like a two-minute conversation? Or is this like you actually...
She was the tour guide. We started talking.
Okay.
She then, after the trip was over, I was getting off the bus to tip her because you tip the tour guide at the end of the thing. And she goes, hey, do you have Instagram? And I said, yeah. She goes, all right. She's like, I'll follow you. And she did. And that was it. Honestly, that is it.
How long was the bus ride for the tour up?
I mean, there and back, it was an all-day thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She was working. Yeah. We were on the bus.
In defense.
She was working. Yeah.
In defense of your comments, Cody, I think it's actually more like after the way that Gold just described how they met in the first place and she wanted all that, there's a greater chance that it does result in some pleasure. However, I'm not going to say that it's
dude,
like
you said it's
we're
so
going
weird.
Right now.
He's... The way you just that whole sentence. There's a way.
I said it way less weird.
Drew said, "quote." Result in some pleasure.
Yeah.
That
could also mean a variety of different things.
I'm leaving. Sure.
Do you want to get on? I mean, you could hit the home run, but you also could get a triple as well.
Now you're just making it even. Now you're going to baseball analogies again.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
I mean.
Man, this was well worth it as a random question. I feel great about it.
Just the text line
sounds great.
Killing
pause,
Drew.
Pause. Pause. Yes, pause.
We might have to end it. You know what? I take it back. I can ask any
it's
other
your fault. I blame you, Cody,
like
as well.
This is my fault.
It's Cody's fault completely.
It is. It's definitely
oh, that
my fault.
Drew, save that drop of yourself. If not, we'll do it when we return on Monday. That has to be a drop.
All right.
Up next, we get to the fan club.
Thank you. Let's transition, please. Thank you.
Yeah. On a Friday here in Vegas, going to be a good final hour heading into the weekend on a Red Friday right here on 96.5 The Fan.